Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Shirley Jackson didn't just write haunting short stories and novels filled with psychological horror and suspense. She also wrote comic essays about her struggles to balance her writing career with family life, her husband, literary critic Stanley Edgar Hyman, and her four children. The oldest of these children is Lawrence Jackson Hyman. He and his sister, Sarah Hyman DeWitt, put together a collection of Shirley Jackson's writing called Let Me Tell You, New Stories, Essays, and Other Writings. Steve Paulson sat down to talk with Lawrence Jackson Hyman.
Lawrence, what are your earliest memories of your mother, Shirley Jackson?
Oh, I think probably age 3 or 4, I remember her reading to me. I remember her singing Brahms' Lullaby, and she would play the piano. My earliest memory is getting up on the piano in order to stand on doorknobs so I could swing on doors back and forth. Not something my parents were real fond of.
I can imagine, yes. What was your mother like?
Well, she was a complex person. My recollections of her are very positive. She was always kind and funny, loyal, intuitive, fun to be around, especially as I grew older. We became real pals when I was a teenager and used to do things together, drive around looking for spooky-looking houses and going out to lunch. And she was really a very warm person. And a lot of people have trouble imagining that because of some of the work she wrote.
Right. So I'm curious about the driving around to see spooky houses. That was just sort of a fun pastime for her?
No, she was looking for houses for inspiration for The Haunting of Hill House when she was working on that in the early 60s. And I could drive then, so I would drive her and we would drive around in her little Morris Minor and with the top down, and I'd drive her around for a few hours. We'd look at houses in upper New York State, and then we'd go out to lunch, and that was my reward.
And did some of what you saw, did they get into her fiction?
Well, I don't know. She was fascinated by old, large houses. She came from a family of architects. Houses play prominently in most of her novels. In some, they're characters as strong as any other. Especially The Sundial, We Have Always Lived in the Castle, and of course, The Haunting of Hill House.
Right. So she sounds like a very hands-on mother. And yet it's interesting because I assume she might also be easily distracted by her writing.
Well, she was always writing in a way. She kept pads around the house and she would make notes when she was doing housework. She would often pull us aside and try out an idea on us. She'd be sitting on her stool in the kitchen, and I'd walk through, and she'd say, Laurie, what do you think about this? And I'd sit down, and she'd run out a 5-minute subplot or something, and I'd say, oh, sounds pretty good. And I'd run out and play baseball.
Did you ever say, no, I think that could stand a little improvement?
I may have said, you know, I don't get that, or it doesn't seem that interesting. But I was always proud of her. I knew from the earliest days that she was a writer. That's how she made her living. My father was a writer. They were both hammering away at their typewriters. I mean, I'd bring friends home from school, and the typewriters would be going in the study like percussion. And we just tuned it out, my sisters and brother and I. But friends would be quite astonished at the sound.
Wait, so your parents, did they have their desks like side by side in the same room?
For a while they did. Later they had different offices in the house. But for many years they shared the study. And they both had Royal typewriters going nonstop. And they were fast, intense typers, both of them.
Now you are the oldest of four children. And you were the first, I think, to become a character in some of the magazine stories that your mother wrote. What was it like being a character in your mother's work?
Well, I don't know when I first became aware of it. I know the first story that she wrote about me was Charles, which is still one of the most anthologized short stories in English.
Can you tell us about Charles, the basic premise of that story?
Yeah, sure. It's about me, called Laurie in those days, starting kindergarten and coming home each day with stories of a misbehaving student named Charles. Over time, my parents got more and more fascinated with Charles as I would bring home these tales of his misbehavior. And then Charles went through a period of suddenly being very good. And my parents became even more fascinated and couldn't wait for the first parent-teacher meeting. And my mother went, and she had a plate with a piece of cake on it and a glass of juice or whatever, and sidled up to the kindergarten teacher and identified herself as Lori's mother. And the teacher said, "Oh, we're so very interested in Laurie." And my mother said, "Well, you must really have your hands full with Charles." And the teacher paused for a minute and said, "We don't have any Charles in our class."
So you just made up all these stories and brought them home to tell your parents?
Well, you know, I've been asked about this story all my life. And I learned from my mother not to get too involved and just to say, it's just a story. You know, everybody assumes that this is true, but it's a work of fiction. My mother was very good at that. She could take everyday events, even family calamities, and turn them into wonderful stories, sometimes uproariously funny, and I was often on the short end of that. But usually she treated me very well. She gave me some great Groucho lines.
Well, it also sounds like, at least based on that story, Charles, that you were a bit of a mischief maker yourself.
I got into trouble a few times, and each time my mother would get a story out of it. A few years ago, got a box of handwritten letters from a grade 5 class, and in many admiring voices, they all asked if Laurie was still mischievous and if I had really done all those terrible things. So I decided to answer them, and I wrote them each, and I said that the writer's art is turning everyday events into fiction, into stories. Predictably, Charles also wrote and told them not to listen to anything Laurie said.
Now, you and your sister, Sarah Hyman DeWitt, spent a lot of time scouring the Shirley Jackson collection at the Library of Congress, and you recently published a lot of these undiscovered new stories, essays, and other writings in a book called Let Me Tell You. Were there any particular discoveries that are favorites?
Well, we found lots of stories. There were 52 cartons of her unsorted papers, and we just went through them and found stories that were missing a page, and we'd search for the page and identify it by the typewriter ribbon and other things. It was quite a work of detective sleuthing. But we came up with some treasures. I was hoping you'd allow me to read a little piece I chose for the prologue to the book.
Sure, absolutely.
It's very short. Uh-huh. I think it's an entire short story, and it's one paragraph, 4 sentences, and I'll read it. Margaret stood all alone at her first witch burning. She had on her new blue cap and her sister's shawl, and she stood by herself waiting. She had long ago given up on finding her sister and brother-in-law in the crowd and was now content to watch alone. She felt a very pleasant fear and a crying excitement over the burning. She had lived all her life in the country, and now, staying with her sister in the city, she was being introduced to the customs of society.
Oh, my goodness. To me, that so captures my image of Shirley Jackson's writing. I mean, sort of the mystery, the fright, but also the pleasure in the fright.
Well, and also presenting frightful things in very common, ordinary, recognizable terms. You know, clothing, setting. I chose it to be the prologue just because I found it so masterful. And it's pretty interesting. We found it among my mother's papers, and it was just one page. She'd never completed the story, as far as we know. We never found the rest of it. But it's a story in itself. It tells you worlds of information in 89 words. I mean, it's really remarkable.
Lawrence Jackson Hyman is Shirley Jackson's eldest child. He's an author and editor. He co-edited a collection of Jackson's work called Let Me Tell You, New Stories, Essays, and Other Writings, with his sister, Sarah Hyman DeWitt. Hyman spoke with Steve Paulson.